God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. The set aside prayer. God, I ask you to please set aside everything we think we know about the big book, about step one, about our disease, and about our recovery, so that we may be teachable and stay humble. And most especially, we ask you, God, to help us to set aside everything we think we know about you, so that we can have a new experience with you and learn what you want us to learn tonight. Amen. Okay, please take this down. You are going to need paper and pencil, because I will be giving you words to look up and I will be giving you a writing assignment. But I want you to write this down. We are not meeting Thanksgiving, and that is November 27th. We are not meeting November 27th. We are meeting November 28th at 8 p.m. Same number, same pin. And Christmas also falls on a Thursday. We will not be meeting Christmas night. We will be meeting December 26th, that Friday, at 8 p.m. And New Year's Day, January 1st, falls on a Thursday. We will be meeting January 1st at 8 p.m. So please note, and please do not announce this at your 12-step recovery meetings. This is word of mouth, and everybody who is on the phone list will be getting an email. This will be on the website, and I will tell you next week. Also, it's been brought to my attention that when people go to their Big Book Step Study meetings, which is one of the requirements, and I want to praise you for doing that. There's a lot of people on the Sunday night meeting from this workshop. The thing is that it's been brought to my attention because I've heard that you're saying, hi, and I'm on Stephanie's workshop. That's not how you are supposed to introduce yourself. Two things about that. One, this is the proper way, so please write this down. This is how you introduce yourself. Hi, my name is, and then you say your name. And I am reading step one right now. That's all you say. Now, when you are reading step two with us in the workshop, you'll say, hi, my name is, and I am reading step two. Then step three, and then when you are actually writing your fourth step, you'll say, hi, I am writing. So that is the protocol. When you go to a Big Book Step Study meeting, that's how you introduce yourself. Hi, my name is, and where you're at in the process. The second thing is when you're on a bridge line or in a specific fellowship, you would never use your sponsor's name, that because you're breaking my anonymity. So when you say, hi, I'm doing Stephanie's workshop, what you're doing is you're blowing my anonymity. Now, we all know that I do the workshops. I will get on lots of times and announce the Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. But when you use somebody else's name like that, you're breaking their anonymity. You would never stand up and say, your sponsor's name. It's just you don't use names. The only name you use is your own. And there's one other thing that I want to share about that. As your sponsor, I am doing this sponsorship And I am doing a unique sponsorship because I'm doing it over the phone bridge to many, many people. I want you to consider that you are walking through the door at 8 p.m. of my house. I live in Pembroke, Massachusetts, by the way. You are walking in the door. You are coming into my living room, and you are sitting in my living room. And I am sharing. We all have our big books open, and I am going through the big book the way my big book step study sponsor did for me. Now, I have had many groups come to my home, and I've done workshops. I've done workshops in all types of settings, taking groups through. And I call them a workshop for lack of anything else. It is a process, and that's why we call it. It's actually used in the big book, a process. And so I use a workshop because I don't want to say a meeting, because we are not a 12-step recovery meeting. We don't follow all the traditions. We don't follow the rotation of service, because there is no rotation. I'm your sponsor. I take you through from step 1 to step 12. When you're done, then you take people through the steps 1 through 12. And so there is no rotation of service positions. So we are not a meeting. And we are an all addictions group here. So we have AAs, and we have OAs, and gray sheets, and FAs, and clutterers, and debtors, and sex and love, and workaholism, and we have it all, and so isn't the Sunday night. And so for the singleness of purpose, we cannot announce anything that I am doing with you or the Sunday night. So I think that explains a little bit. And if you have further questions, then you can bring it up at the when I ask for questions. Okay. Oh, and one other thing. I told you wrong about the website. Now, I was going to give you the website at the end, but I am going to give it to you because I told somebody it wrong last week. So this is, you go to Google or you go to Foxfire, whatever search engine, and you type in Stephanie's Big Book Step Study. There is a space. And let me spell Stephanie's. S-T-E-P-H-A-N-I-E apostrophe S. Then space, then big, then book, then step, then study. And there is a space between all of them. You put that into Google and it will come up. And as you all know, it has the writing assignment for all the writing assignments that I have given you since the September 4th. We started September 4th. It has all the writing assignments, all the words, and it has all the recordings except for 1 week. And when I realized that the recording wasn't on it, the next week I did it. I redid it. Okay? So that explains everything. I've actually used 15 minutes, so I'm going to go right to the end. And if somebody has a question, you can email your question to K is in Kevin, S is in Stephanie, dot, B is in boy, K is in Kevin, and L is in love, at Verizon, Verizon.net. So I'm going to go right up because I've spent 15 minutes, and you deserve to have the full 15 minutes. So if you want a phone list, see, I'm doing everything in the beginning, okay? And I don't usually do that, but I will do it today. If you want a phone list, or you want to be, if you want a phone list, you have to be on the phone list. That's what the phone list person and I decided. If you want a list to be a member, because only members get the phone list, then your name needs to be on the phone list. So you email this, and this will be it. We will start the workshop. T is in Tom, H is in Harry, R is in Richard, S is in Stephen, B as in Bob, B as in Bob, S as in Stephen, S as in Stephen, at gmail.com. So that's THRS, abbreviation for Thursday, BB, Big Book, Step Study, at gmail.com. THRSBBSS at gmail.com. And you send your name, your email address, your home phone, your cell phone, your time zone, and the best time for you to be reached. And if you do that, you will get a phone list. If you have a question about anything that I say tonight, you can email that ks.bkl@verizon.net. Okay, so that's all the business. Turn to page 6 of the doctor's opinion. So go to the doctor's opinion and count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We're on the home stretch here. Home stretch. Okay, we're at the very, very bottom. Last paragraph. It starts with this immediately. And I'm going to give you your first word. Precipitates is your first word to look up. I'm on page 6, last paragraph of the doctor's opinion. Precipitates. Big word. Okay. This immediately precipitates us into a seething cauldron of debate. Look up cauldron. Okay, we think, that's why we do the set-aside prayer, because we think we know what these words mean. But you will have such a deeper understanding when you look these words up. Okay, so what this does is, oh, you know what? Look up seething, too. That's an unbelievable word. This puts us into a controversy, okay? Something that we try to stay away from. Okay, so what puts us into this controversy? Okay, you always have to be turning these sentences into questions. Okay, so this is how you do it. This precipitates us into a seething cauldron of debate. How do you change that? What puts us immediately into a seething cauldron of debate? Okay, the answer, Bill always does this. You have to go to the paragraph before. So you go up one sentence, and it says, the only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. And we talked a lot about that last week. Entire. In fact, I don't think I had you look up. Look up entire. What does entire abstinence mean? And I had somebody, no, that was another thing. Okay, so this is your first writing assignment. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm really getting off to an early start today. Okay, first writing assignment. What constitutes entire abstinence in your fellowship? Okay. What constitutes entire abstinence in your fellowship? Okay, so you don't have to write this. I'm just going to clarify. Okay. Say you're in AA. For you to get a medallion, say a year medallion, you need to have entire abstinence for a year. If you were explaining to a brand new person what entire abstinence is because you just got your medallion, what would that entail? I mean everything. What would it mean? Like, I'm in AA, and I'll pick up my medallion. My anniversary is July 24th. I'll pick up my medallion And I have had entire abstinence from alcohol for a year. What does that mean? For me to pick up my medallion. And I'm not saying this is what I feel my fellowship would require of me. Absolutely no alcohol. That means that I read labels, I ask waitresses, I have no alcohol in my food or in a drink at all. It means that I don't take any drugs that are mind-altering. I would consider that that's not entire abstinence. That's just for me and what I consider my fellowship expects of me. If I have medication, I follow exactly what the doctor tells me to do. Okay, so say you're in Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. What does entire abstinence mean for you? And what's your definition of entire abstinence? Say you're in Debtors Anonymous. What does entire abstinence mean? And I want you to be very specific because this is for you. This is like a, like at the end of the fourth step, we have romantic and sex relationships. And part of that fourth step is we write a relationship ideal. And it's very important that we have a sex ideal. It's written right in the book as part of your fourth step. You need to have what your bottom line is entire abstinence. No fooling around. Tight boundaries around your abstinence. But I'm not going to tell you as your sponsor what you have as entire abstinence. If I was your food sponsor, I belong to a food recovery program that abstinence is very, very specific. If I was your food sponsor, I would have to, because that's the only way that I can be sponsored by my food sponsor, is if I sponsor exactly the way she sponsors. But in this, where we're all addictions, I'm going to have you define what entire abstinence means. So that's your first writing assignment. Okay. So the only relief, we, now who's the we? And I'm up on the last sentence before the last paragraph now. The we is Bill Wilson and the first 100 alcoholics, which included Dr. Bob. Okay. Is they suggest entire abstinence, okay? Now, the next paragraph he starts, now this immediately precipitates us into a seething cauldron of debate, okay? It put them in controversy with other groups, with other doctors, with other philosophies, because there's the philosophy that you can drink in safety. And I know that I have to have entire abstinence to the day I die because there is no drinking and safety for me. Okay, but that's what that sentence means. And there's a lot of words that you really need to know the definition of. That's why I'm having you look them up. Okay, then he says, much has been written pro and con. Pro and con about what? See, this is how you have to be reading your book. Pro and con about what? Entire abstinence. Much has been written. That you need, pro is that you need to be entirely abstinent, and con means you don't. But among physicians, okay, the general opinion seems to be that most chronic alcoholics are doomed. Okay, so what is Dr. Silkworth talking about here? Okay. Dr. Silkworth is saying that a lot has been written pro entire abstinence and con. So for and against entire abstinence. Then he's saying, but among physicians, and I don't know what physicians he's talking about. I know he felt this way, that you had to have entire abstinence, and the physicians that work with him. The general opinion seems to be that most chronic alcoholics are doomed. Okay, so what does that mean? Chronic alcoholics are doomed. Okay, chronic means, because you've looked it up, you know what chronic means. And I'm going to look it up in my big book dictionary here just to give you the, I could give you my definition, but I want to give you the official one. Chronic, habitual, marked by long duration or frequent reoccurrence, always present, always encountered, constantly vexing, weakening, or troubling. Okay, so chronic means you're going to have it for the rest of your life. Chronic alcoholics are doomed. Okay, you are, if you are a chronic alcoholic or a chronic food addict or a chronic shopaholic or sex and love or debtor or whatever, if you are chronic, that means that you will never in any way, shape, or form, even through recovery, change the fact that you are an alcoholic. I know that I'm an alcoholic to the day I die. It doesn't matter how many times I do the big book step study process, I can never pick up alcohol and safety. I am doomed, which means I have to have entire abstinence for the rest of my life, or I'm doomed to death. That's what he's saying here. Okay, I'm on page 7 now. Turn to page 7. And I do recommend that above the Roman numerals, you put page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. So then he says, what is the solution? Okay, now you're going to have to read this whole page and be totally confused like I was for years until I did this process with my sponsor. Okay. What is the solution? All right, I'm going to give you the solution. I'm going to read it all, but right now, so I don't confuse you, I'm going to tell you what the solution is. All right? Now, count sentences with me. What is the solution? That's sentence 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. On the 10th line from that, what is the solution? I want you to circle this line. He accepted the plan outlined in this book. Circle it. Circle it. And then put an arrow, and in the margin write, this is the solution. And that, well, I'm going to read it, don't worry. But I want you to know before we even start all of this that this, it, he took this whole page to tell you, basically, he gives you a story. But this is the solution, accepting the plan outlined in this book. That is the solution for chronic alcoholics or chronic whatever you are. I'm a food addict. And a codependent, a clutterer, and a debtor, and a lot of other things. This is the plan outlined in this book is your solution. Okay. And then on the next page, turn to page 8. Turn over to the page and circle the very first sentence. However, he became sold on the ideas contained in this book. Same thing, just said a little bit differently. That, put up an arrow, and then in the margin write, this is the solution. The solution is that you need to become sold on the ideas contained in this book. And it's too early yet. You don't even know what the ideas are. But I guarantee you, in 15 months you will, because my group in Monday and Tuesday, they know what the ideas outlined in this book because we've gone through them. Okay, so turn back to page 7. Okay, what is the solution? And Dr. Silkworth says, perhaps I can best answer this by relating one of my experiences. So he's doing what I want all of you to do. All your writing assignments have basically been your experience, because nobody can take that away from you, your experience. Nobody can say it's not true. And that's how you help other people, is by giving them your experience. And then you let them experience their own. Okay, so this is Dr. Silkworth's experience with two men that he worked with. About 1 year prior to this experience, a man was brought in to be treated for chronic alcoholism. He had but partially recovered from a gastric hemorrhage and seemed to be a case of pathological mental deterioration. Okay, so pathological is your next word, and you all know what mental is, and the next one is deterioration. Okay, he had lost everything worthwhile in life and was living only, one might say, to drink. Can you relate to that? I certainly can. He frankly admitted and believed that for him there was no hope. Can you relate to that? I could. Following the elimination of alcohol, there was found to be no permanent brain injury. Now, here's the solution. See, he's telling you a story about a person, and then he slips in the solution. I must have read this at least 15 times, maybe 20 over the years. I never got it till I went over it with my sponsor. He accepted the plan outlined in this book. 1 year later, he called to see me, and I experienced a very strange sensation. I knew the man by name and partly recognized his features, but there all resemblance ended. From a trembling, despairing, nervous wreck. Can you relate to that? Trembling, despairing, nervous wreck? That was me. Had emerged a man brimming over with self-reliance and contentment. I talked with him for some time, but was not able to bring myself to feel that I had known him before. To me, he was a stranger, and so he left me. A long time has passed with no return to alcohol. So there we put in the, this is man number one, okay, that Dr. Silkworth tells us about. And the man accepted the plan outlined of this book. And then you go all the way down and you say, you look at a long time has passed with no return to alcohol. Now, that's a pretty good experience. Dr. Silkworth had had no success. So this was one of his first experiences, no return to alcohol. Okay, then this is man number two. So you write man number two. When I need a mental uplift, I often think of another case brought in by a physician prominent in New York. So this is another experience that Dr. Silkworth had. The patient had made his own diagnosis and deciding his situation hopeless. Okay, so note that these two men felt hopeless. Back up here. He frankly admitted and believed for him there was no hope, and down here, deciding his situation was hopeless. Had hidden in a deserted barn, determined to die. He was rescued by a searching party and in desperate condition brought to me. Following his physical rehabilitation, he had a talk with me in which he frankly stated he thought the treatment a waste of effort, unless I could assure him, which no one ever had, and I might add, no one ever could have before, that in the future he would have the quote-unquote willpower to resist the impulse to drink. Okay, we all know that willpower always availed us nothing. Okay, so what happened? His alcoholic problem was so complex and his depression so great that we felt his only hope would be through what we then called moral psychology. Okay, circle moral psychology, and then draw an arrow down and put spirituality through the 12 steps. Because remember now, Dr. Silkworth is working with Bill. And they had spirituality built on 12 steps. And we doubted if even that would have any effect. So he isn't really convinced. Okay, now turn to page 8. However, Dr. Will Silkworth says, the man number 2, did become sold. Now, note that he put quotes around souls on the ideas contained in this book. So what does soul mean? So in your margin, right, he was willing. He was willing to follow all the directions. He was willing to follow all the directions outlined in this book. Okay, that's what sold means. Okay, now look at this man. He has not had a drink for a great many years. Same outcome as the other man. A success, a recovered alcoholic. And why can we call him recovered? Because he's done the steps as they're laid out in the big book. He's had a spiritual experience. And he no longer suffers from the hopeless state of mind and body. And where does that promise come from? It comes from the preface of the big book. It's the very first words that Bill Wilson wrote, that they were 100 men and women who had recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And what did Dr. Silkworth emphasize? That these two men were hopeless. And they did the work, as I am going to guide you through. They became sold on the idea, which means they were willing to follow all the directions outlined in this book, and they had not had a drink for a great many years. So they were recovered alcoholics, not cured in any way, shape, or form, but they did no longer suffered from hopelessness because they could keep a drink down. I mean, they could put the drink down and they could keep it down. And that's what this book will promise you with whatever your addiction is. You will be able to put it down and keep it down and actually be joyous and free about it too. You'll have a great life. You'll be useful. That's the key word. You'll be useful. You'll be able to help people in your fellowships just by opening this book, having it in your lap, having their book open in their lap, and going through with them what I've gone through with you. And that's what being sold on the ideas contained in this book. Okay, then the next sentence. I see him now and then, and he is a fine specimen of manhood as one could wish to meet. There's a lot of respect for the man. And I bet he doesn't say it here, but I bet this man is in his hospital, or was in his hospital. This is 30, so he's long gone now. But he was in his hospital helping the other alcoholics on his ward. And that's why he is giving this nice compliment, a fine specimen of manhood as one could wish to meet. Because he was given it back. You know, he was given a new life. Remember, he was the one who went into a barn and tried to commit suicide. Okay, and then this is really a wonderful last way to end. Dr. Silkworth was a classy guy. He writes, I earnestly advise every alcoholic to read this book through. So he is saying, you know what? Give this book a chance. Read it through. And though perhaps you came to scoff, now that will be your last word for tonight, scoff. Perhaps you came to scoff, you may remain to pray. Now that is really a very, very spiritual way to end, that you will remain to pray. And I just want you to know that prayer is the only answer, really. All throughout this book, it talks about having a personal and intimate relationship with God of your understanding. That's very important. It's not my understanding. It's not Bill's understanding. It's not your sponsors, you know, your fellowship sponsors' understanding. It's not your parents' understanding. Not the understanding of your childhood, it's your understanding of you now, of God. But the answer is praying to that God, communicating, and then listening, praying and listening. What I want to do right now is I want to talk about, we're going to go into Bill's story next, but I mostly want to talk about prayer a little bit. And I am not, it's going to be strictly in the realm of spirituality. I started telling the requirements. Somebody asked me what an AWOL was, and I told them, and I said AWOLs usually tend to have quite a few rules. And I do have two requirements. So if you want to call it rules, you know. I don't like the word rules, but I do. And the requirements that you do a quiet time every day. And I want to talk a little more about that because Dr. Will Silkworth talked about remain to pray. Quiet time is a minimum of 15 minutes. You can do 20, you can do 30, you can do an hour. It's totally up to you. But I am going to ask you to do at least 15 minutes. And I am going to outline a suggested quiet time. But this is just a suggestion. You can work it out yourself. It needs to have two parts, though. You need to have prayer and you need to have listening, which is another way of saying meditation. This is what I suggest. You start your quiet time with the serenity prayer. And then you read a piece of 12-step recovery literature, whatever one you want. The AA day-by-day book is Reflections, which everything comes from either the big book, the AA 12 and 12 as Bill sees it, or letters that Bill wrote. Absolutely love that book. And then somebody writes on what the quote is. And then you write, you know, a little bit on what you have read. And then maybe pray a little bit, you know, whatever. whatever you want to pray. I don't want to get too directive here because it's your relationship with God. And I want you to sit quiet for 5 minutes and listen to God. And what do you concentrate on? You concentrate on the main point of what you read. Like, say, you know, November, almost all the day-by-day books. A lot of the days talk about gratitude because November is gratitude month. But, you know, whatever the main purpose, theme of that reading that you just wrote on, you sit and think, God, what do you want me to know about gratitude? Or you can just sit and say, God, what do you want me to know today? You know, but sit quietly. Because it's if you're going to have a spiritual experience at the 12th step, you're going to be working on this personal relationship for a couple of years, because it's going to take 2 years about for us to go through this. The Monday and the Tuesday are already 16 months, and we will be done by 2 years, maybe even sooner. But that's what it's all about. And then the other requirement is that you go to a big book step study, a big book meeting. I prefer a big book step study meeting, and there's one at Sunday nights at 8 p.m. on this phone bridge with the same number. And like I told you in the beginning, you would say, hi, my name is, and I am on step one right now. That's how you'd introduce yourself. You would say nothing about being on this workshop. Or you can go to one in your town or community or wherever. And if it's an open meeting, then anybody can go. Usually it's the AA people that have the big book. But you have to check to make sure that it's open. If you're not an alcoholic, you can't go to a closed big book meeting. But you can come to the Sunday because it's all addictions and everybody is welcome. Okay. So that is what I wanted to talk about, the requirements. And as your sponsor, I've learned from experience that these two are critical and vital for people finishing, for staying. And it's a long time. It's a lot of Thursdays, 2 years of Thursdays. A long time. And the people who took seriously doing their quiet time and getting to a meeting, they are still with me. And they are now starting amends, which is, it just brings me to tears. Because their lives are totally changed, just like my life has totally changed. And I want that for you. And I know that we're going to be losing people. I mean, it's just a fact of life. But I want to say that each and every one of you are very, very important to me. You are my sponsees. This changed my life. I want to help it change your life. So pray. Do the quiet time. Make your relationship with the God of your understanding huge priority, if not your first priority. First priority. Because that's what being a recovered addict is all about. That we are walking arm in arm with the God of our understanding through our life. We lean on God and we don't lean on our addiction. It's an awesome life. I really, really, really encourage you. So let's turn to page one, chapter one, Bill's story. Okay. Bill tells us who he was. He tells us all about his disease. And then he tells us all about his recovery. Bill's story is, like Dr. Bob's, is fantastic and will never, never leave the big book. It's not necessarily step one, but we are going to put it in to step one. Then when we finish Bill's story, we are going to go to the AA 12 and 12. The AA 12 and 12. So if you don't have the AA 12 and 12, I want you to get it. And I am going to give you the telephone number. Nope, I guess it doesn't have it. The Al-Anon one does. Nope, I'm looking at my 12 and 12. It doesn't have the... But it's Alcoholics Anonymous, New York, New York. All you have to do is call information or go to any AA meeting, and they will be selling the AA 12 and 12. You can go on Amazon.com and get a used copy. I bet you it will be less than $5. But I want you to get an AA 12 and 12, because once we finish Bill's story, I'm going to take one night, and we're going to read the AA 12 and 12 because it gives additional information. And then we're going to do one night on the first tradition. So I am going to be giving you a lot more than I gave my other two groups. I realize that it's a whole package, the big book and the AA 12 and 12. And I only regret that I didn't do that with my other groups. Okay, so you've all been told you need to get an AA 12 and 12. Okay, and I'm gonna read the first two pages. Okay, Bill's story. War fever ran high in the New England town to which we knew young officers from Plattsburgh were assigned, and we were flattered when the first citizens took us into their homes, making us feel heroic. Here was love, applause, war. Moments sublime with intervals hilarious. Okay, I told you it was the last word, scoff, but I want you to look up sublime. Got a lot of words tonight. Okay. I circle them so I know which ones I've asked you to look up. I was part of life at last. And in the midst of the excitement, I discovered liquor. I forgot the strong warnings and the prejudice of my people concerning drink. In time, we sailed for over there. I was very lonely and again turned to alcohol. Okay, so underline that. I was very lonely and again turned to alcohol. Okay, so this is your second writing assignment. I want you to write out, quote, I was very lonely and again turned to, and then I want you to put alcohol, end of quotes, and then under alcohol, I want you to put what your addiction is. And then I want you to write about loneliness. How loneliness contributed to you picking up your addiction. I could talk to you people for the next 5 hours about loneliness. I've really, really discovered. Because I started eating compulsively when I was 4 years old, and I had a pit of loneliness. And I'm going to talk more about loneliness next week, but I want you to write about it. So when I'm talking about my experience, what I've learned about loneliness, I want you to have some experience. I want you to write about it. And when you do these writing assignments, I want you to do the set-aside prayer. and the serenity prayer before you start. I really want you to invite God into the very recesses of your heart, your soul, and your mind so you can really get honest with yourself. And if you do these assignments, you'll be so ready to write your fourth step. You'll be so used to being gut-wrenching honest with yourself that the fourth step will not be a shock to you. Okay, I was very lonely. That was a key sentence that Bill wrote, and again turned to alcohol. We landed in England. I visited Westchester Cathedral. Much moved, I wandered outside. My attention was caught by a doggerel on an old tombstone. Here lies a Hampshire grenadier who caught his death drinking cold small beer. A good soldier is near, which means never forgot, whether he dieth of musket or by pot. Now, pot means beer. It does not mean cannabis, which the kids would, you know, they call cannabis pot. Ominous warning, which I failed to heed. 22 and a veteran of foreign wars, I went home at last. I fancied myself a leader. Okay, underlined, I fancied myself a leader. Okay? Look up fancied. Okay, Bill talks about himself. He had a big ego. I can really relate. I fancied myself, too. I fancied myself a legal. Had not the men of my battery given me a special token of appreciation. Oh, by the watch, they gave him a pocket watch. That's what they gave him. My talent for leadership, I imagined, big ego again, would place me at the head of vast enterprises, which I would manage with the utmost assurance. So he was big ego, going to take charge. And he also lacked humility. Okay, I'm going to end right there. So we are going to start on page 2, right, it's 11:13:08. Okay, let me go over the words. Precipitates. P-R-E-C-I-P-I-T-A-T-E-S. Precipitates. Cauldron. C-A-L-D-R-O-N. Seething. S-E-E-T-H-I-N-G. Entire. E-N-T-I-R-E. Pathological. P-A-T-H-O-T-O-G-I-C-A-L. And deterioration, D-E-T-E-R-I-O-R-A-T-I-O-N. Scoff, S-C-O-F-F. Sublime, S-U-B-L-I-M-E. And fancied, F-A-N-C-I-E-D. Okay, your writing assignment. 1, what constitutes entire abstinence for you? And what does your fellowship consider entire abstinence? So I know I just said your fellowship in the beginning, but I want you to own it and then what your fellowship would consider. Now, like my AA fellowship, it's probably what they expect is just no alcohol. But for me, I say no alcohol and no mood-altering drugs for pleasure. You know, things, you know, no alcohol in my food, you know, medicine, anything like that. Okay, And two, I want you to write this sentence from the big book. Quote, I was very lonely and again turned to alcohol, unquote. That was from Bill's story. And under the alcohol, I want you to put whatever you turn to. And then I want you to write about loneliness, how loneliness contributes to you picking up your addiction. So I want you to write about loneliness. I remember being 4 years old and being lonely. It was like, I'm 58, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. I can remember being lonely in my teens and in my young adults. And so I really want you to explore, are you lonely today? Do you have like that pit in your gut that you really feel alone? So I really want you to write about it. God, how do we thank you for giving us this big book and its clear-cut directions? Help each and every one of us to become sold on the ideas in this book. Help us all to realize that a spiritual experience can be had by everybody who does the work and makes the God of their understanding a priority in their life. That is a spiritual experience. We realize that we fill the lonely hole inside of us with spirituality instead of a substance or a person are in action. So I ask you to help each and every one of them to be diligent with their quiet time and getting to a big book step study meeting, reaching out to their group members, and just giving them the willingness to go the length of this process. Not to quit, not to give up, but to really see the value of, number one, entire abstinence from their addiction, and then the need to clean house so that they can be useful to you and to their brothers and sisters in their fellowships. Thank you, God, for each and every one of us, that we are trudging the road of happy destiny. Amen. And I want you to know, I'm going to give you this bonus. You don't have to look it up. The word trudging means walking with a purpose. And you and I, together, sponsor, sponsee, we are trudging together. We are walking with a purpose through this big book. And at the end is recovery from the hopeless state of mind and body. So I'm here for the long haul. I hope all of you are too. God bless. Bye for now.